Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
The reason why most of us do not escape the snare of the enemy is because we've not made the commitment to obey Him completely. And that if we look at our life, that oftentimes we can see a life that has walked in partial obedience. And partial obedience is disobedience. To obey and obey and then disobey is disobedience.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
We have been speaking on escaping the snare of the enemy and looking at common temptations that we all have the propensity to fall into. And, you know, as I was thinking about this week, I was wondering just out loud one morning, you know, Lord, how do we truly escape the snare? I mean, we've looked at a lot of scripture about how to escape that snare. And, you know, I just felt the prompting to bring this message to you because with the strong conviction is the reason why most of us do not escape the snare of the enemy and how the enemy comes back so time and time again and how we fall is because we've not made the commitment to obey Him completely. And that if we look at our life and we look at where we've been and we look at our lifestyle, that oftentimes we can see a life that has walked in partial obedience. And you're going to hear this phrase a number of times in this message. And if you've been here over 3 years, 3 years ago, we've talked about this. But you're going to hear this phrase. Partial obedience is disobedience. To obey and obey and then disobey is disobedience. And this is a common problem. It is a common propensity. It is something that is common in the Christian life. And, you know, I just want to tell you, I don't think these things ought to be that way. Of all that God has done and all that God has completed in our lives and what He's done at the cross and how His precious promises have made clear that we can walk in a way that is pleasing to Him 24 hours a day. I just believe that with all my heart. But I do see at the same time my own propensities to walk in obedience partially. And to walk in partial obedience is disobedience. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Woe, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You tithe your mint and your dill and all the things that you have, but you've neglected the weightier provisions of the law. You have neglected justice and mercy." Yeah, when it comes to your church attendance, or it comes to your tithing, or it comes to your service, or it comes to your philanthropy or your giving, yeah, you do fine. And you ought to do those things, and you need to do. But please, don't neglect the other things of justice and mercy and faithfulness and compassion and the love of God. Because when you neglect those things, you're walking in disobedience. And partial obedience being disobedience, we will see in the next few minutes, is a very serious, serious thing. And I think it's also something so very subtle that we all walk in and that we've all got to be careful of. And we've all got to watch ourselves. The question that we've got to ask is this, is that am I walking by the power of God, yes, in obedience to my God. As a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as a family, am I walking in obedience to God? Am I walking in a manner in which I know that He has spoken into my heart and He has showed me what to do? He has showed me what to say. He's showing me how to live. And am I living that completely? Because if I'm not, I want to tell you, when I'm not living that completely and I don't have a complete obedience, my door to the enemy gets open. And it may just be that much, but I want to tell you, it's enough. Because he can be smaller than a mouse. All he has to do is get his nose in it, and he's in your life. We need to understand this. We need to live by it. We need to walk by this. One of the great illustrations from Scripture is the illustration from the life of King Saul in 1 Samuel 15. Please turn there with me if you would. From the life of King Saul, you find a guy that, I mean, had it all together. And he blew it because he was partially obedient to God.
Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel is the prophet, Saul is the king, and God has a word to the king through the prophet. It's a command of God. Notice what he says. Verse 1, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, listen to the words of the Lord." Listen to this word, he says. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I'm going to punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now you go and you strike Amalek, and you utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him." Now watch. So this is, for some people, this is hard to swallow, okay? But you got to swallow it. "But you put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." The word and the command is very clear to this king. He is to go in and annihilate this people. He is not only to annihilate the people, he is to annihilate the animals. I mean, God wants this place completely destroyed. And yet, you know, you can take a look at that and you can just find all kinds of problems with that if you want to. But I want to tell you to do one thing today. You need to understand, I need to understand, that when Jesus Christ comes into my life and your life, he comes in to completely annihilate the enemy. Amen. No sheep, no oxen, no sin, no nothing. Nothing is to remain. I mean, folks, when he went into the temple to cleanse, when he cleansed that temple, he said, "Listen, this my house will not be a house of robbers." You come into this house, you come into this temple, and you make profit. You use your greed for it. You feed your flesh for it. And that is disobedience. It is disobedience to God. And it's very, very clear that when God comes in, he comes to clean house. And he don't want to wait 10 and 15 years before it's clean. Folks, he wants to begin an immediate work in you. He wants to bring in an immediate work of cleaning it all out. And the question that remains is, will I walk in agreement with my great God that when God brings the sins to mind that are in my heart, will I say, "Yes, clean it out. Yes, take it away. Yes, I give it unto you today. Yes, remove this thing from my life. I walk in agreement with you." Now that's the command. It's the command to Saul. And the scripture says from verse 4 to 9 that Saul will summon the people. He'll get his army together. He will crash the Amalekites. And I mean, I want to tell you, he will defeat Amalek. The scripture says that he will destroy Amalek. And I want to tell you, when you look at this, it is a concise, precise victory of God and victory of this king. When you look at it. When you look at it from the outward, I mean from all outward appearance, this is a great victory. And this is going to be a great political figure in Israel's history. The scripture says that he went in, and this verse 8, verse 7, that he defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as you go to Shur, which is east of Egypt, and he captured the king Agag and the Amalekites alive. He utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good. And they were not willing to destroy them utterly, as God had told, as God had said. But everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. And then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Notice verse 11. "I regret that I've made Saul king. He has turned back from following me. He has not carried out my commands." And Samuel, with distress, cried out to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul. And it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel. And behold," you know, you want to know where he's at? "He set up a monument for himself. And then he turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal." This guy's won this victory. And he's feeling not good about God. He's feeling good about himself. Bad move. In this next breath, you know what he says? "I have carried out the command of God." You know what? When you got to tell somebody that you've done it, it's because probably most of the time you didn't do it. When you got to put the marquee up and say, "I'm following after God," you probably aren't. "I've carried out the command of God. I've done it." And all the while, he has not carried out the command of God. He has not fully obeyed God. And that's exactly what Samuel says to Saul. He says, "And let me ask you this question.
What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? I'm to come in here this morning after this war, and I'm not to hear. I'm not supposed to hear anything except the sound of Israel and the sound of the army. That's what I'm supposed to be hearing, but I'm hearing something different. You know what I'm really saying? I'm hearing not really sheep, oxen. I'm hearing disobedience. This lowing, this bleating is nothing but disobedience that I'm hearing. What in the world am I hearing this for? Why am I hearing sheep and oxen when I shouldn't be hearing anything? I shouldn't be hearing cries of mourning. I shouldn't be hearing anything. And Saul said, well, listen, they brought them from, it's their problem. They did it, not me. They brought them from the Amalekites. For the people, they did it. They spared the best of the sheep, the oxen, the sacrifice to the Lord, your God. But the rest, and notice what he says, the Lord, your God. But the rest we've utterly destroyed. And Samuel said to Saul, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak. Now I'm just going to tell you, partial obedience is disobedience. By everything that you see that Saul did, says victory, victory in Christ, great leader. But what God sees is a disobedient heart. And in that disobedience of sparing the best, of sparing Agag, what he did was he disobeyed God, and God was about to judge him. The question that we want to ask today as we look at verses 17 and following is, how do we escape the same snare that Saul walked in? How do we do that? And the first thing that I want you to notice is that we must remain humble. We must remain humble. We must continue to see ourselves as little in our own eyes. We must continue to see that we have a need for God, that we have a need for Him every moment of our life. And if it's going into a battle such as this, or if it's just waking up in the morning and going through our day, is that we need to remain humble. We need to remember where we're from, what God has done in our lives, and that we still need Him. Because look at verse 17. It says, Samuel said, is it not true, Saul, that though you were little in your own eyes, there was a moment that you saw yourself as insignificant? And to be honest with you, King, that's what God is looking for. Someone who sees himself as not being able to offer much of anything. Because that's who God greatly uses. It's a man who is humble in heart, who understands his own wretchedness and his own sinfulness, so that when Slay came to Saul to anoint him as king, he goes, wait a minute, not me. Why me? Can't do it. And they say, well, that's exactly why we're here. He says, one moment you had this humility about you, that you depended upon God, and you depended upon God and Him alone. But you were little in your own eyes at one point, but no longer. You've lost the humility. I saw the monument that you've lifted up for yourself. It's an idol, Saul. It's an idol to success. You've become prideful. You've become arrogant. You've not remained humble. You have not remained in a sense that says, I need God and I need to do what He's called me to do. The second way that you would, if you would remain humble, folks, if you would remain in such a state that says, that always says, I need God. And then if you're going to make this determination in your life that you're going to obey the voice of God completely. You're going to obey Him completely. You're going to do it fully. When He speaks, you're going to go unless you hear Him in the midst of going. And He says, okay, I know your heart. You know, he did that once. Do you remember that? Abraham, go sacrifice your son. What did he do? He went all the way 3 days, all the way to the moment, remember? Lifted the sword up, and then God said, okay, you don't have to do that. Okay. You know what God said in that day? I know your heart, that you're going to obey me whatever I ask you to do. If you would take the most precious thing that I've ever given you, and you're willing to sacrifice it, and you're about to do it, I know that you're going to obey me completely, wholeheartedly. And that's why Abraham was called the friend of God. And guess what, folks? God wants to call you friend. He wants to say, you're my friend. I got goosebumps right now. God wants to be our friend. And the question is will we lay it down for Him and walk in full obedience? The reason why you and I fall, the reason why you and I find ourselves in the predicament that we find ourselves, is because we've not obeyed the voice of God completely. For Saul, it was simple. You go in, I've given you the manpower, I've given you the spirit, I've given you everything you need to go in there and utterly destroy these people. To utterly destroy, to utterly get it out of your life. And the scripture says that he would not obey God. Notice, He says, the Lord sent you, verse 18, on a mission, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And you rushed upon the spoil, and you did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Go destroy the Amalekites. Well, what does he do? You know, I often think, why did he do that? I mean, did the king come along and say, well, king, it's not the king's fault. Did he relate to the king at that moment? Did he become the king's friend? Did they have a little conversation and say, I'm just going to show you a little compassion right now? Did he like the king? You know, that's what we do with sin. We entertain the king. But it's not the king, it's sin. It's the sin that God tells us to get rid of. Do we like him? It's not that bad. He's not such a bad guy. You know what? Maybe I've missed God on this one. I mean, he's still alive, isn't he? He didn't get killed. But that's how we do with sin. That's how we do with bad relationship. It's still here. I'm not talking about bad married relationships. Or illicit relationships that are not of God. We say, it's still here. Or, it must be all right because God put us together. I mean, you heard that before? I've heard that before. Folks, we've got to obey the voice of God completely. And you know, I don't know what God is speaking in your life today. I don't know what He is showing you or what He is telling you. But the question that I want to ask you is that will you obey God completely? This guy won a great victory, and from the appearance of things, public opinion is going to soar, but God isn't interested in public opinion. He's not interested in the majority rule. He's interested in that which is right and good and holy. He's interested in His opinion. Listen, they had a great majority vote when they decided to not to go into the promised land. Two men said, don't go, let's go. And the rest of them, millions of people said no. And so they had that congregational vote. And they missed God. He is not interested in public opinion. And you know what? We go through our life, that's why we miss in elementary school, junior high school, college, and even our adult, because we're more concerned about public opinion of what that person thinks about me. And we live our lives. We live our lives in the flesh, dressing the carton because we think that we need other people to approve of us the way we look. Or the way we act even. God is not interested in public opinion. The moment that you get interested in what other people think, you're going to partially disobey God. I'm just going to tell you that right now. You're going to disobey God. And we cannot as a church body, we cannot as men and women, we cannot as students in this world, we cannot be ruled by public opinion. By what others think. We need to be ruled by what God thinks. Saul does not obey the voice of God. And the question that I ask is, you know, what has God told you to do that you've not done completely? You know, when you look at the relationships that you have in your life, and the things that are the past, you know, there's some of you in here that have still not settled forgiveness issues. You have not forgiven your mother, your father, your husband, your wife. And you might have partially done it and say, I'm working on it. Well, folks, if you're working on it, you've just partially obeyed God. It has to be done completely. When I think about the relationships that I have, am I loyal? Do I walk in such a way that I can be trusted in the relationship? Or am I a gossiper? Or am I a murmurer? Or do I grumble? You know, as I look at my role as a dad, as we look at roles as mothers and husbands and wives and sons and daughters, do we look at the Word of God as a son or a daughter and say, yes, I'm honoring my father and my mother? Well, are you really? Well, I'm going to church. Well, what are you doing on Friday night? Partial obedience. Yeah, I love my wife unless partial obedience, man. Partial obedience. Yeah, I'll respect my husband if, ladies, partial obedience is disobedience. And I look at my life. And I look at my weeks. And I'm telling you, as you heard me say this before, I preach not to you, I preach to myself. I must see some of these things in my life. When I look at the roles, and I look at the things that God's called me to, and yet I'll walk in obedience, but then go to the end and stop and not fully follow through what God's called me to do. What about in your sexual purity? I mean, some folks, I mean, they'll hold on to that magazine, they'll hold on to that internet, they'll hold on to that stuff, and they'll say, well, I'm doing okay. But then, bam, partial obedience is disobedience. We need to look at our lives and ask, what about this sexual group? What about my serving? What about my giving? What about my place? What about what God's called me to do that I've not been doing? What about the areas we've been discussing over the past several weeks? In my anger, in my pride, in my critical spirit, in my grumbling, in my worries, my fears, my anxieties, my depressions, my idolatry, my unbelief. Almost 10 areas we looked at over the last several weeks. And I ask the question, where are we being fully and wholly obedient to God? And you say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, folks, that doesn't give you a loophole to continue in it. Our Jesus is perfect, and perfect Jesus comes to live in you and me. Amen? He comes to drive it out of us so that we can walk from glory to glory. For His honor and for His glory. That this commitment that we'll make to say, God, I will obey Your voice completely. And if You tell me to get rid of this, I'm going to get rid of it. And Lord, You show me, Lord, and I want You to do that in my life. I want you to bow with me in prayer. This is not invitation, okay? Not invitation. Go on, do it right now. Bow with me in prayer. I want to ask this question. I want you to ask God. I want you to do it right now in your spirit. Would you please do this? I want you to ask God, God, is there anything that You have told me to do that I have not done? Where am I disobedient? Now, if He revealed something to you just now, I say, praise the living God. God's speaking to your heart. You're His child. Right? And so, you know, you might think, God, you know, folks, this is not just a sermon to jump all over us. But if there's something that God has told you to do that you've not done, and He's telling you, praise God, because He's giving you the opportunity to get it right this week with whatever you need to do. Whatever God's speaking, you're posturing yourself right now by confessing. And you see, now what you've got to do now, as we're going to see in a moment, you've got to obey. You've got to obey the promptings of God. And you've got to confess that to Him. You've got to agree with Him. And so right now, would you do that? Would you say, God, I agree with You. I've not done what You called me to do. Would You come empower me? So that I might get it done. So that I might do it. Now I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, You've revealed through this congregation, just as You did this morning, some things in our lives, Lord, that we've not dealt with, that we've not nailed down, that we've not given up. And Lord, I just want to thank You in Jesus' name that You revealed that to us and You've postured us to receive the rest of this message, Father, so that we might go from this place doing what You've called us to do. Not walking in disobedience, but absolute total obedience in the power of the Spirit. Oh, amen, Lord. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, this is what you got to do next. If God revealed it, when your sin is exposed, you got to agree with God. Saul defended his actions on the basis of his outward success and peace of mind. And Samuel came along and said, wait a minute, there's sheep, there's oxen. You're not confessing this to me. You've not agreed with God. And we have to agree with God when we are confronted with our sinfulness. Now, folks, listen, it is the key. It is the key to deliverance. It's the key to a victorious living. That if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must confess to God our sins. Or I would tell you, you will walk in bondage to them the rest of your life. But you've got to agree with God. You must agree with Him. You must confess. You must get it out. You'll never get clean, folks. You'll never get clean. You've got to confess. You've got to confess and make it right. A fourth thing, I've got to believe that God delights in obedience and not sacrifice. Are you walking obedience today? Are you walking in it? Because you know what we'll do? We'll overcompensate. And we go into sin and we decide, I'm not going to confess it. But God's got my attention, but I'm not going to confess. I'm going to keep this hidden, and I'm going to walk in this secret sin, or I'm going to hide it, and I'm going to get busy. So what we do is we plunge ourselves into church work and sacrifice. And you know what? God's not interested in sacrifice today. He is interested in obedience to His Word and to His life. Are you walking in that obedience today? Believe that God delights in obedience and not sacrifice. And then you've got to see sin at any level as God sees it. That it is disobedience, and the Scripture says to Saul that it is rebellion, and rebellion is as witchcraft and idolatry, and it is rejecting the Lord. For Saul, the consequences, the kingdom was taken away, and the spirit departs, and a demon is sent. Folks, let me ask this question. And I ask it of myself. Do I want to spend another day partially obeying God? Now, I know some of you are thinking, I don't know if I could ever do that. And you know what? You're right. You can, but He can in you. He can through you. That's the part of faith. That's the part of faith. I want you to bow with me in prayer right now. I want to ask this question. You know, it's interesting that as you walk in life, I mean, the last 10 weeks, as we've looked at anger, and we've looked at pride, we've looked at critical spirit, man, I tell you, grumbling and murmuring, and we've looked at enough scripture in the last 10 weeks to give principle after principle after principle. Yeah, it's amazing that how some of us continue to be just miserable in our sin. Miserable in this life. I want to ask you, is that you today? Is that you? One of the great passages of scriptures in 1 John is that His commands are not burdensome. They bring joy. And a lot of people say, this is just too much. I can't do that. But only when you know you do it, you do it according to the power of the Spirit, that the Spirit of God is released in your life, and there's joy unspeakable. And so the commands of God are not burdensome. I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, and so many that I've spent time with, in a church with a group of people that I love so dearly, I'm going to tell you something. By His power, you can do it. By His power, you can have that great marriage. By His power, you can walk in freedom today. By His power, listen to me, church, by His power, you can obey Him completely and never murmur again and grumble again. Wouldn't that be nice? You can go through your life with the strongholds off of Him today. You've got to agree with God. You got to say, they're here. They're in my life. God wants to do a work. He wants to do a work in your life right now. As you confessed this morning, as you asked God to show you, God, what in my life is lacking? What have I not done that You've called me to do? And He spoke specifically to you. Now, would you go? Would you make a commitment to do by the power of the Spirit what God's called you to do? You know, for some of us, God would say, you know, you're still angry. You're still prideful. You're still fearful. You're still grumbling. You're still so critical. You still got that idol in your life. Would you say yes to Him today, church? Would you come to Him today and say, God, I'm going to obey You. I'm going to follow You. Yeah, I'm going to believe through that faith. It's going to come that work. It's going to come that movement of God. And Lord, I'm going to believe right now that You're going to fill the God-sized factor back into my life. You're going to fill it up.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.